Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb.
There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it.
His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow.
The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men.
The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just like he said."
Today, what a day to celebrate. Today marks the day we remember the most significant moment that happened in the human history, the day where Jesus rose from the dead. And so we are super excited just to be able to gather here together. We are grateful to see each and every one of you here, to all the families that are visiting. We are just grateful to see each and every one of you. So welcome and grace to you and peace to you. From God our Father, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't, just a couple of quick announcements. Kids, you are going to be part of the service. So kids, you can start right now with your families. So anyone in the back who's kind of curious, you can kind of start with your families. But during the second song, kids, we want you to make your way to the back of church. And then you can come up and lead us in your special song. And so with that, why don't you stand up, say hi to the people around you. If you're not sure who they are, introduce yourself, and they'll probably do the same.
Thank you. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
The grave is empty. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
This is the good news. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never put it out.
Hallelujah.
This is the good news. Once we were no people, now we are God's people.
Hallelujah.
And Christ is our peace, the indescribable peace we now share with each other.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated.
The ages burning brighter and brighter, standing forever. The church he is building, nothing can stop it. It's a city that's shining, a light in the darkness.
At this time, kids are dismissed for children's worship, and if you're not sure where to go, if you have kids here that sat in the pews, just follow the masses. They'll figure it out. So kids ages 3 through 8-ish, there's a time of special worship for you downstairs. As they head out, just a couple of announcements for you. First is just to let you know that today's offerings, we have two offerings, and you'll see donation baskets that are just kind of in the back just as you exit the sanctuary. The first one today is for the ministries of West End, and the second one is for a ministry called Shield of Hope. Shield of Hope just comes and blesses families that are dealing with loved ones who have cancer. A beautiful, beautiful ministry. So, and then secondly, if you ordered any of these Easter lilies, if anyone put an order for Easter lilies, you can grab those after the service and take those with you. And then if you ordered any burritos, burrito pickup will be this Wednesday from 3:30 till 6 o'clock just right here at church. So burritos, you can pick that up. So just a couple additional announcements before we head into a time of prayer. I just want to let you know that Dale Verberg was able to go home on Friday, so that's just a huge answer to prayer that he is now back home with his beautiful bride, Willa. And also, Carl and Jane Vanderpaul called me yesterday to let me know that they are now grandparents, and so they are very excited. They're leaving their son. Yeah, we can clap for that. That's beautiful. They, their son Kyle and daughter-in-law Shanda had a quite a journey to get pregnant, and then they just had a baby boy yesterday. So we are very excited for them. So with that, let's go before God in prayer. God, here on this day, we are reminded that hope is alive. In these moments where life is overwhelming and darkness is all around us, today is a reminder that life erupts through you. That in these times where things don't make sense, even in the confusion, there's this ray of hope that we can find in you. Because if you can overcome death, you means you can overcome anything that we're dealing with in our life here today. So God, we take this time on this special day just to leave our worries and our concerns and these things that we carry and our sins, and we just lay them at the cross. God, reminded this week as you died on the cross that you did that out of your immense love for each and every one of us. You took on our sin and our shame and our brokenness so that we don't have to carry it around anymore. You took that stuff, brought it to the grave, and then you rose again 3 days later. And because you rose again and you lived again, we too might live and have life through you and you alone. So God, that is why we gather here today, to praise your name. We thank you and we worship you. God, we just have so much to be grateful for. We're grateful that Dale Verberger is now back home. We pray that you continue to grant him strength and healing. God, we're excited for Carl and Jane and the birth of a grandson, and just pray that you be with Kyle and Shanda as they adjust to life as new parents. And Lord, we look around and there's so much to be grateful for. So God, we just stop and give you thanks. Thank you for loving us enough that you died on the cross. Thank you for making life after death possible through you and you alone. And God, may we have the faith to put our life into your hands. And may we discover the life that is available through you and you alone. Lord, this we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. And happy Easter to everybody. What an awesome day this is, right? A day of worship, a day of family and kids and grandkids and all that. I just wish you a blessed Easter as you maybe gather with your family, your household, and just celebrate the joy of this day. This is the day that God has made, and there is so much to rejoice in today. Isn't there? Absolutely, there is. You know, but with all the joy of this day, let me just state right up here the obvious, maybe right at the top here, but kind of all in the back of our minds, still is, but these last couple of years have been really tough. I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, just think about it. Just think about it, everybody. These last couple of years, I mean, we have been through something that none of us have ever been through before, right? What a ride that has been. And that's why I really believe that the hope of Easter is something that we need more this year than we've ever needed before. So let me just bring a little bit of perspective to what we're doing here this morning. So here we are, West End Christian Reformed Church, our little section of West Michigan, couple hundred people so gathered here this morning to celebrate Easter. But let me just encourage you to think a little bit larger than that for just a minute. Because all around the globe, right now, there are literally billions of people who are gathering. I mean, staggered through all these different time zones, but all these people are gathering to all celebrate the same thing. This crazy idea that a man named Jesus, who lived in the Middle East 2,000 years ago, who was sentenced to death by the Roman government, on the third day walked out of the tomb alive. Man, that is the amazing truth that we gather around today. And I really believe that that message has the ability to bring hope into situations that just seem really hopeless. I mean, I am so excited to talk about this today. Everybody, here's the good news. Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. He is reigning as Lord of the universe. And Jesus, at this moment, is directing and moving all of the events of history, including the events of your little life. But He's moving all of these events toward a great and glorious conclusion. That is really good news. And so the name of the message this morning is Hope is Rising. Hope is rising, everybody. Do you agree? I do. Hope is rising. And so the main scripture that we're going to look at this morning is from Luke chapter 24. And just to set the stage real quickly for what we're about to read, but the event that we're going to look at this morning for a few minutes happens on Easter Sunday afternoon. Remember the events of this weekend. Jesus is crucified on Friday. They lay Him in this tomb. And then on Saturday, God lay dead in a tomb. And then early on that Sunday morning, while it was still dark, something mysterious, something supernatural happened in that dark tomb. The body of Jesus, the dead body of Jesus, was infused with life. And He stood up and He walked out of that grave alive. It's amazing. And then Peter and John, remember, ran to the tomb and they looked in and it was empty. The women came early in the morning to bring the spices and so on, looked into the tomb, saw two angels, but no Jesus. He's gone. Remember, on that Sunday night, Jesus would appear back in that upper room with His disciples. Remember, on that Sunday night? So what we're going to talk about happens in the afternoon. After the resurrection, before the Sunday night, on Sunday afternoon. So this is Luke 24. Let me ask you to stand up. If you can do that this morning, we're going to honor God as we read His Word together. Hear the Word of the Lord. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And they talked. As they talked and discussed about these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing Him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked Him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning and they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and he appeared to Simon." Then the two told about what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And that's God's word for us today. You can sit down. So this morning I just want to talk about three things, losing hope, finding hope, and then sharing hope. All right? So losing hope, finding hope, and sharing hope. So let's first talk about losing hope. Now, we're never told exactly who these two people are on this road to Emmaus, although we're told that one of them is named Cleopas, right? Don't know if this is two men. Don't know if it's a man and a woman or a married couple, but there they are. We're not told much more than that. They had traveled to Jerusalem with a whole lot of other people that past weekend to celebrate the Passover. They went there, probably bought their lamb, had the Passover meal, celebrated God's power to rescue his people from the slavery of Egypt and all of that. And so they were actually in the city of Jerusalem that weekend when Jesus was crucified. And now it's 2 days later, and it's Sunday afternoon, and they're making that 7-mile walk back to their village in Emmaus. And as they walk, obviously they're talking all about the unusual events that had just happened that weekend that they experienced. And it's not a very happy conversation. It's filled with confusion and probably some sadness, like, "Man, I can't believe what happened. I just can't believe that. I can't believe what happened." And then all of a sudden, here comes this other guy out of nowhere and just starts walking along the road with them. Probably had the hood of his cloak, pulled down over his face, down real low. So they have no idea that this guy who just joined them is actually Jesus. And I love the casualness of Jesus here. He says, "Hey, what are you guys talking about? What's going on? What are you guys talking about?" And then one of them says, basically, what do you think we're talking about? Jesus of Nazareth. Don't you know? Haven't you ever heard of him? mean, he's this amazing prophet, and he was in Jerusalem. He did all this preaching and all this healing, and all these crowds gathered around him. And then you wouldn't believe it. They killed him. They crucified him. They put him on a cross. And then this morning, some women went to his tomb and they saw this vision of these angels. And now, nobody can find his body. I mean, this whole thing is a mess. I mean, can't you feel the dejection that these guys are experiencing as they're walking along the road? But let me just focus for a minute on that verse 21. They say, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Oh, we had such hope. I mean, we had such hope this weekend that this was going to be it. See, the Jewish people were sick and tired of being pushed around by all of these occupying nations. And every faithful Jewish person was waiting and hoping for the Messiah to come, to show up, to rise up, to throw off their oppressors, which in this case was the Roman Empire. And so these guys say, man, we were hoping that Jesus was the one who was going to do that. And now, all of our hope has been ripped away from us. You know, as we all have walked together through these past 2 years, I've seen a lot of hope ripped away from a lot of people. Haven't you? I had hoped to go to prom in the spring of my senior year of high school in 2020, but then COVID hit and it was canceled and I couldn't see my friends and there was no prom and there was no nothing. Man, I had hoped to have my dream wedding, but we wound up just saying our vows with a handful of family members in our backyard. Not exactly what I pictured for my wedding day. And I had hoped to have a great year of teaching and influencing my students in the classroom, but now all I do is look at these little squares on a Zoom screen. Johnny, you're on mute. You gotta unmute yourself. Nobody can hear you. Unmute yourself. Not exactly what I pictured for my career in teaching over the last couple of years. I had hoped that my senior year would be the highlight of my college experience, but the instruction all of a sudden went virtual. And now I've had to do my last year of college from my bedroom in my parents' house. There was no graduation. All they did was mail me a diploma in the mail. And all that stuff is just the stuff that happened in my house over the last couple years. Oh man, I had hoped that the racial tension in our country would be resolved by now, but all I keep hearing is this angry shouting and it just seems to be getting worse. Man, I had hoped that I'd have had my dad with us for many more years to come, but all of a sudden he got COVID and suddenly he was taken and I just feel like my kids have been deprived of their grandfather. And the examples could go on and on and on, right? Because how would you finish that sentence? As you look back over the last couple of years, how would you finish the sentence? I had hoped that blank. Oh, I had hoped. But now this. Maybe you've had losses that have had nothing whatsoever to do with the pandemic. But for most of us, it's just been a really weird couple of years, right? Tough, difficult, challenging, all of that. And all of this loss, I'm telling you, has taken its toll on us. A few months ago, the CDC released a report on the mental health of Americans. Listen. Anxiety disorder is more than 3 times higher than it was before the pandemic. Not 33% higher, three times more anxiety. Depressive disorder is four times higher. In 2019, it affected 11% of the population. In 2022, 44%. That's 4 out of 10 adults. And by the way, mostly age 18 to 24. Think of that. Up in 2 years by 4 times. Negative impacts on well-being, such as difficulty sleeping, 33% of people say that. Or eating, 32%. Increases in alcohol and substance abuse, 20%. And most tragically of all, suicidal thoughts have more than doubled. This is unbelievable, everybody. And I think that we're just seeing that hope is such a precious thing. It is such a necessary thing. And so that when we lose hope, it just affects us in such profound ways. So these two travelers on the road to Emmaus, they had hoped that Jesus was going to be the one. And now their faces are downcast because their hope has been ripped away. Or so they thought. Point number two, finding hope. So this unknown man who's walking along the road with him lets them finish their story about all the Jerusalem stuff and all the hope that was lost and all that. And then he speaks in verse 25. He says, "How foolish you are. How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" In other words, I think he's saying, look, you guys are giving up on hope too quickly here. I mean, don't you know how the Messiah operates? I mean, haven't you read your Bible? Don't you know your Old Testament? I mean, the Hebrew prophets clearly say that when the Messiah comes, he's not just going to hop up on his throne and start ruling. He's going to have to suffer deeply first. And at this point, you know, these two travelers are probably thinking, I mean, who is this guy anyway? I mean, what in the world is he talking about? And then, one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. I love this. Verse 27. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Wow. How'd you like to be part of that little Bible study? Huh? He's beginning with Moses. Well, what's that? Well, that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, probably a little bit of Obadiah and Jonah and Habakkuk thrown in there. And he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures, in all the Old Testament, because there was no New Testament yet. He explained to them what was said in the entire Old Testament concerning himself. Man, what a Bible study that must have been. And I tell you, if I had to pick one moment in the Bible, you know, where I could be present, you know, where I could be just kind of a little fly on the wall, when I could kind of listen in to what's being said, I'll tell you what, I'd pick this moment right here. I would love to hear what Jesus said. And we get one verse, but I imagine it went on all afternoon. I mean, I imagine that Jesus probably talked to them at some point about the Passover lamb, right? Whose blood was put over the doorway of those Hebrew houses in Egypt so that the judgment of God could be satisfied. And then how now that the blood of Christ, this Jesus, was now the perfect Passover lamb to deal with sin. I mean, he probably at some point talked about the whole sacrificial system of Israel. That was all those animals, all that blood, all those festivals, all those years to atone for sins. And that how now Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the world, right now and for all time. I'm thinking he probably mentioned something about Jonah, don't you? He probably said something about Jonah, you know, being in the belly of the fish for 3 days, just like Jesus was in the grave, that dark place for 3 days before his marvelous resurrection. I mean, I don't know all of the examples that Jesus walked through in the Old Testament, but there are so many examples in the Old Testament that point us to Jesus, that point us to this whole thing. The Old Testament is just filled with the gospel, the good news of the gospel that finds its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ. My favorite children's Bible is called the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's by Sally Lloyd-Jones. Anybody have it? You have it? You know this book? Okay, the Jesus. Okay, it's a great book. I love it. If you don't have it, get it for your kids. Get it for your grandkids. It's really good. But in the introduction to her book, in this little story Bible, this is what she writes. She says, there are lots of stories in the Bible, but all the stories are telling one big story. The story of how God loves His children and comes to rescue them. It takes the whole Bible to tell this story. And at the center of the story is Jesus. Every story in the Bible whispers His name. Listen, He is like the missing piece in a puzzle. The piece that makes all the other pieces fit together. And suddenly, you can see this beautiful picture. On that road, on that Sunday afternoon, I think those two travelers began to see that beautiful picture. It was all coming together for them. They were starting to see that the suffering and the death of Jesus were not the end of the story at all, but that the suffering and death of Jesus were a crucial part of the story. And they started to feel hope trickling back into their hearts and lives. And so they arrive at the village and they convince their new friend to stay with them. You know, come on in. It's getting dark. It's getting late and, Middle Eastern hospitality and all of that. Come on in. Sit down at our table. So they sit down and they bring out the food and they serve the dinner. And amazingly, can you picture this? Jesus takes the bread. And He gives thanks. And He passes it around the table. And something happens. It says their eyes were opened and they recognized Him. Now, I don't know. I don't know if maybe they saw something. I don't know. Like maybe when Jesus was passing the bread, did they see the nail holes in His wrists? You know, was it something that obvious that they saw? Or maybe it was just completely supernatural. Maybe God just enabled them to see something, right? But whatever it was, suddenly they realized, wait a minute. Wait a second here. This has been Jesus with us the whole afternoon. And now He's sitting at our dinner table. This is unbelievable. And just like that, He's gone. Just poof, He vanishes. He slips away. And they say to each other, weren't our hearts burning as He talked to us along the road? Of course they were burning. Can you imagine, though, the sort of shock, maybe disorientation of this moment? I mean, they were in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified, and now they had experienced Him, and it was definitely Him, and He was clearly alive, and the realization of all that had actually happened starts to sink in, and it deeply affects them. I mean, they had been so hopeless. But when you watch them now, these are people who have just been infused and injected with hope. So let me ask you this obvious question. Obvious question, what does all this have to do with us? I mean, if this is really true, if Jesus is the one who's predicted by the Hebrew Scriptures, if He actually came back from the dead on that Easter Sunday, then what does all of this have to do with us? And the hopelessness that some of us are feeling and some of us have been wrestling with in the year 2022, 2 years or more now into a pandemic, with so many changes that have been brought around in our lives and in our world. What in the world does this have to do with us? And here's my answer. Here's what I think God wants all of us to know on Easter. When you are walking with Jesus, you always have a reason for hope. Let me say that again. One more time, when you are walking with Jesus, you always have a reason for hope. Always. Always. I just want to be really clear about this. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm not talking about becoming an optimistic person or, you know, a glass half full kind of person. I'm not talking about developing some sort of deep self-confidence in yourself. I'm talking about the inner assurance that no matter what happens, no matter what happens, you know that the future is good because the one who rose from the dead is on your side. That's a powerful assurance. And I'm telling you, it changes the way we look at everything. But especially, it changes the way that we look at losses and disappointments in life. Walking with Jesus does not take away the pain of your life, but it completely changes the way that you look at it. So I realize that as I'm getting older, things are starting to happen to my body. There it goes. It's happening to my body. Anybody notice? I mean, not my body, but yours. I mean, not mine. Something happened to your body too? I mean, don't, as I get older, something happens to our bodies, right? And so, I went to my doctor, I don't know, last fall. I always go in September, and he says to me, you're getting older. I said, yeah, really? I didn't need to come here for you to tell me that. He says, yeah, you're getting older. And he says, you're beginning to lose muscle mass, which is not a good thing for me because I didn't have a whole lot of muscle mass to start with. So I didn't really take that as really good news, like you're losing muscle mass. Well, thanks, doc. He says, here's what you got to do. I mean, here's my advice to you. As you get older, as we all get older, you know, it's really important that you got to build some exercise into your life. I mean, you got to do, besides doing a little bit of cardio exercise, you got to do some weightlifting. You know, you got to do some resistance work so that you can maintain and you can build back up some of that muscle mass that you're losing. So I said, okay, all right, I'll do it. I'll try. So I've got this little gym down my basement. Well, it's not really a gym. It's kind of a rack with some dumbbells on it. That's all. And so I try to go down there a few times a week and lift some weights. And I'm just going to be totally honest with y'all. It's not fun. It's not fun. I do not enjoy this one bit at all. I know some of you are sitting there going, yeah, I do. I like lifting weights, pumping iron. I don't. And for most of us, this is not the good idea of, you know, of a good time. It's a painful, unpleasant experience. But, here's the realization that I've developed over this last year or so. That when I actually go down there, you know, not like wait 3 months and then go, you know, not, but when I actually do it on a regular basis, few times a week, I try to do 2 or 3 times a week, I work out with those weights, when I do that faithfully over several weeks, something starts to happen. I find myself to be a little bit stronger. I mean, I can lift some stuff like in regular life, you know. Find myself a little more energy when I wake up out of bed in the morning. I feel a little bit better after I've been doing that. And so this little connection has formed in my mind. When I do this, it produces that. You know, when I do that, I kind of feel like this. And that connection begins to grow pretty strong. And therefore now, you know, when I'm down in my basement, I'm on the third set of dumbbell series, you know, I'm on that last set and my shoulders are burning and it's painful and everything in me says, why are you doing this? Why don't you just stop? There's this little voice that says, wait a minute. I know this feeling. This is the feeling of growth. This might feel like death, but something good is actually going to come out of this. And every time I feel like this, I know what it produces in the end. In other words, it's in that moment when I kind of get re-injected with a little bit of hope, and that hope is exactly what I need to persevere and finish the workout and push that bar up one last time. Hope really does change everything. And so just imagine for a minute. Imagine if you could start looking at all of your suffering in the same way. You know, so when the pain comes, instead of assuming, you know, oh man, this is terrible. This is awful. I mean, I don't know why God would allow this in my life. I mean, why? I don't know why God would allow this breakup. I don't know why God is allowing this divorce. I don't know why God is allowing this unemployment. I don't know why God is allowing this cancer diagnosis. There's so much mystery to this, isn't it? I don't know. I don't know all of this stuff. I can't understand it. That this feeling of death, this feeling of suffering. But I'm telling you, that's exactly the kind of thing that God works in. That's precisely where He works to bring about new life and hope. He reached into the grave and He raised Jesus from the dead. And I'm confident that God is going to reach into my life and He's going to bring something really good out of it. I don't know how He's going to do it. I have no idea. But when I'm walking with Jesus, there's always reason for hope. And it changes everything. And so for those two travelers on the road to Emmaus, their newfound hope drove them to do something. And so let's just talk a minute about sharing hope. Verse 33 says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. All the way back, 7 miles back, all the way back to Jerusalem where they had come from. I mean, these guys are fired up. And it says they found the 11 disciples and those who were with them assembled together saying, it's true. The Lord has risen and He appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened to them on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when He broke the bread. So these two travelers, they go all the way back to Jerusalem. They burst into the room where all the disciples are sitting there. And the disciples look up and they probably go, hey, I thought you guys left. Like a few hours ago, I thought you guys took off. And the guys go, yeah, we did. But now we're back. And then the stories start to pour out. Did you notice that the sharing goes both ways here? The 11 disciples and the people with them, they kind of go first and they say, yeah, Lord's risen. He appeared to Simon. Simon, of course, is kind of another name for Peter, right? So why would they specifically mention Peter, that the Lord appeared to Peter? Why would they do that? Well, I think it's because Peter probably needed hope more desperately than anybody else in that room. Because you know the story, right? Peter had a chance to speak up. He had a chance to stand up. He had a chance to say he was with Jesus. But then when the pressure was on, Peter caved. And he denied even knowing Jesus. And Peter was so ashamed of that failure. You ever feel that way? I mean, that you just failed? And that, you know, you've just disappointed God and other people. Maybe you've made a mess out of marriage. Maybe you failed at parenting. Maybe you failed in school and disappointed your parents. Maybe you've got some secret addiction to alcohol or food or drugs or pornography, something like that. And you look pretty good on the surface as other people look at you, but inside you feel like a failure and a loser, and you're pretty sure that God feels the same way about you. I think that's how Peter was feeling. It's hopeless. But now, Jesus is alive, and he appeared to Peter, and when he saw Peter, he didn't scold him, he didn't give him the silent treatment. He loved him. He accepted him, and Peter's hope returned. And our hope returns, because I'm pretty sure that most of us have a little bit of Peter inside of us. Somewhere. So the disciples talk, and then the two travelers, it's their turn, and they speak, and they say, well, guess what? He just appeared to us too. And they tell their story about this guy that they met on the road, and then they came into the house, and he broke the bread, and it turned out to be Jesus who came back from the grave. And they say, we ran. Can you imagine? They ran the 7 miles all the way back to Jerusalem, and the room just got filled with hope. I mean, they didn't have any idea what the future held, what was next, or anything like that. But somehow, now they knew it was going to be okay. Because when you're walking with Jesus, you always have a reason for hope. So, let me ask you one final question today. One last question. It's a big one. Are you walking with Jesus? I mean, really. I mean, not just that you say you are, not just that it looks like to other people that you are, but are you walking with Jesus? Are you doing your whole life with Him at the center? And then maybe you say, I don't know. I mean, there's some things about the church that I really don't agree with. I mean, there's some things about the church I don't like. All right, I get that. All right. I'm not talking about the church. The church is highly imperfect. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. There's no other religious leader. There's no other prophet, anything like him. He came to this earth and he died on a cross for the sins of the world, including your sins. And then he rose again on that third day. And if your life feels like there's a piece missing from the puzzle, maybe it's because Jesus isn't in his rightful place in your life. Look, I'm just going to be really blunt and really frank with you on Easter Sunday here. I mean, Easter is the day when more people come to church than any other day of the year, right? Look, we're full. People are here. Everybody knows that. And so as a pastor, I ask myself, all right, how am I going to handle this opportunity? I got myself a full church today. What am I going to do? I just want to be really clear with you all this morning. My goal today is not to get you to come back next week and figure out how I can get you to come back next week. Like I'm going to hook you in and guilt you into coming back next week. That's not my goal. My goal is not to grow the volunteer base and guilt you into go signing up to be a Sunday school teacher or serve on the council or volunteer for something else. That's not my goal. My goal is not to get a great offering today so that we can meet our budget goals for the month of April. Boy, what petty, small goals those would be. My goal here on Easter Sunday is to make sure that you have an opportunity to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. Because I am so convinced that life is too hard and eternity is too long to spend it without Christ. And He is the one that you need. So we've all gone through these years. We've walked through them together, haven't we? We've all sort of walked this same road. And I can tell you, honestly, there have been moments these last couple of years where I feel like, man, I need to be rescued. God, bail me out of this. This is not the way I want to teach my class. This is not the way I want to do my vacation. Wait, I don't have a vacation because it got canceled. This is not the way I want to do life, God. Rescue me. I could just feel my hope diminishing. How about you? And I think sometimes it just felt like we're drowning in this sea and we're going down and we're gasping for air. And I know that some of you have walked through some pretty serious stuff this year. I know you have. And it just feels like you're drowning. Well, the great news of Easter is that the lifeguard has shown up. And he went to a cross to pay for our sins. And on the third day, he walked out of a grave alive. And he says, I got new life and new hope. And because of this, your future is really good. And today he stands there with his hand extended. And he's saying to every one of us, he's saying, grab hold. I've got you. And now every single one of us in this room, every single one, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, what's going on in your life, every single one on Easter Sunday 2022, every single one of us has now to decide how we're going to respond to this. And you can say, no, I'm good. I'm good. I can figure this out. I'm good. I mean, pandemic looked like it's over to me. Summer's coming. My kids are doing fine now. I got a nice job. I got this awesome vacation planned. You know, I'm good. I'm good. A lot of people saying that. A lot of people saying that. I'm good. I can figure it out. Or, you can have the wisdom to reach out and grab on. And I pray that you will have the wisdom to reach out and grab on to this Jesus. Because he's the only one who can give us the hope of a really good future. Let's pray. Our Father, you know the pain of the difficulties that have happened over these last 2 years. And I just thank you that you have walked with us through all of this, even if we haven't recognized you walking with us. And Father, I just want to pray specifically on this Easter Sunday for those who realized that there is a piece missing from their lives. The puzzle's not complete because Jesus is not at the center. I pray today, Father, that through the way that you have prepared them for this moment, that they would turn to you and reach out and grab on, and that they would say, yes, I believe. You can just say that right now. Just whisper it. Just say it in your heart to God himself. Yes, yes. I believe that Jesus came for me. I believe that he died for me, that he rose again for me. Yes, I receive Christ today. And Easter 2022 will be that turning point in your life when you cross over from death to life, from lost to found. Father, for all of us, I pray that you will fill us with such a hope because of the resurrection, that whatever losses and challenges and pain are in our lives, that we will be able to say, I know this feeling. This is the feeling that God uses to bring life out of death. Father, make us people of hope because we believe in the resurrection. And help us to walk away from here and be spreaders of that hope. In the powerful name of the risen Savior, we pray. Amen.
Please stand.
I could not find
Amen to that. Blessed Easter to all of you and your household and family as you celebrate Jesus, the living hope. Receive His parting blessing. And now to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.